Hold on, Chaf Aleph on the base, six lines from the bottom. Mishnah said, "In person the hen vein recipient." We said that on weekdays and on Cholamoid and Rosh Chodesh, you don't do any less nor any more than three aliyos on weekdays, four on Rosh Chodesh and Cholamoid. And we said that the one who has the first aliyah makes the bracha before it, and the one who has the last aliyah makes the bracha after it. The Tanakh, we learned in a brayso, the one who's, when it said, the Mishnah had just said, so what did that mean exactly? So it meant, so the brayso clarifies, Tanakh, we learned in a brayso, the one who starts the one who starts the Torah reading makes the bracha before it, and the one who ends it makes the bracha after it. So there was only one bracha, so there were only two brachas for the entire Torah reading, one at the beginning and one at the end. But the Gemara says, nowadays when everybody makes a bracha, every oila makes a bracha at the beginning and at the end, Hainu Taima. The reason is, Because of the people who leave in the middle and who come in in the middle or who leave in the middle, so if a person, for example, comes in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, he's not going to hear any brachas before it, so he's going to think that you can lame the Torah without making a bracha before it. And the same thing, if a person leaves in the middle, he's not going to realize that only the last oila is going to make the bracha. He's going to think that you don't have to make a bracha after the Torah at all. So because of that, the Chum made the takana that every Ola should make individual bracha. So that way everybody will know that you always make that you will have to make a bracha before and after reading or learning from the Torah. Now, I mean, it seems a little far-fetched. You know, a person is going to think because of that, but Moshe actually has in one of his shuvahs, he has a short discussion about this where he says, yeah, you might have, for example, a person has heard Kriyas HaTorah many times before, but now, because at one point he leaves in the middle or comes in the middle, then he may forget that you're supposed to do that, and he may come to think that you don't need to every time. Some of the other Mephoshim talk about that maybe what it also means is because, after all, the people who are going in and out themselves need to be yotz of the brachas, and so if a person comes in the middle, then he's not going to have heard the bracha at the beginning, so he's not going to be yotz with it. And if a person leaves in the middle, then he's not going to be yotz the bracha at the end because he's not going to hear it. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Barashi Chadoshim of Chol Shomoyed Koyin Abachola, on Rosh Chodesh and Chalamoyed, we have four aliyahs. So now we're going to be talking about, as I said on the WhatsApp group, it's Real Ashkocha Pratis. Today is Rosh Chodesh, and we're going to be a lot of what we're going to be learning today is about the Kriya of Rosh Chodesh and about the specialty of Rosh Chodesh. So, Bomine Ula Barav Me Rava. So Ula Bar Rav asks, "Sukkah Parshas Rosh Chodesh, Ketzed Koyin Oisa." How do we split up the parasha of Rosh Chodesh among four oilim? The problem is like this: you have three the lady. The Kriya of Rosh Chodesh is divided into the Kriya of Rosh Chodesh has 15 psukim. So in terms of number of psukim, no problem. You have more than enough for three psukim for every oilim. The problem is that it's divided into three parashiyos in the Torah, into three sections divided by parashas psuchos and stumos, of eight psukim, two, and five. So let's work backwards. The one of five psukim on the face of it, we can't divide among two oilim because five is not enough to give three psukim to each. Now the problem is, the Gemara is going to point out in a minute, that not only you need to have three psukim per oila, you also need to have that you don't begin or end an aliyah within three psukim of a parasha break. So the problem is, so the part of Rosh Chodeshem presumably has to be one aliyah by itself. You can't divide it into two. So that leaves us, then you have eight and two. So now, if we wanted to divide the eight, so we can't just say that one aliyah is going to get the two psukim of a Yom HaShabbos, the two psukim, that's not enough for an aliyah. So necessarily, it means that we're going to have three oilim. Excuse me. three olim are going to have to split the eight psukim of by Dabra Hashem Moshe Leimot Tzavos B'nei Yisrael among them. And the problem is, how do you do that? Eight psukim is not enough for three olim. So Parsha Rosh Chodesh Ketz and Koronosa. So how do we learn the Parsha of Rosh Chodesh for four people? We have Tzavos B'nei Yisrael V'amarta Aleim as Kavoni Lachmi. Davin Tzmanya Psukim. You have eight psukim in that Parsha. Heichi Nevin. What do we do? Nikri Tzrei Tzlosa Psukim. Do we have each of the two Olim read three psukim from that Parsha? Poshul Tzrei. The problem is you have two left at the end. The Ein Meshayin Parsha Pachas Meshloish Psukim. You don't leave. You don't end an Aliyah within three psukim of the end of a Parsha for reasons that the Gemara is going to say soon. Nikri Abba, should we say that each of the first two Olim gets four psukim from that first section? Poshul Hushiva. So now you have left seven psukim. Oviyam Shabbos Havin Trei, Ovrosh Chachachachem Havin Chamisha. So you have two psukim in the section of Yom HaShabbos and five in the section of Rosh HaChodeshim. So if we're going to say that we split those seven psukim among the remaining two olim, Heichi Nevin. So how do we do that? Nikri Tzrei Meha B'chad Mehanach. Should we read the third olah gets two psukim of Shabbos and then one pasuk of Rosh HaChodeshim? The problem is Ein Maschil in the Parsha Pachas Mishloish Psukim. The problem is we're also not allowed to begin an aliyah within three psukim of a parasha break. So you can't begin an aliyah until three psukim in. Likud Trei Meho Tlosa Mehach. Should we say that the third oila gets the two psukim of over Yom HaShabbos and three psukim of over Rosh HaChodeshim? Partial Lohu Trei. Then you have two psukim left. And again, two psukim is not enough for an aliyah. So how do you do it? Tosfos, by the way, mentions some interesting things in this connection. This that we're saying that you're not allowed to begin within three psukim of parasha break. Tosfos asks what seems like a bit of an odd thing. Don't we start vaychal within three psukim of a parasha break? So what does that mean? If you look in our Sifrei Torah, you find vaychal is you have the previous parasha. The previous parasha begins more than three psukim before it. And it ends more than three psukim after it. So the end of Ma'aril talks about this in one of his Truvas. Apparently, what it is Tosfos had in their Sifrei Torah, they had a different arrangement of psuchas and stumas that we do. B'chlal, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Sifrei Torah that he found many different Sifrei Torah that had many different arrangements of parasha breaks, and he didn't like that because the halacha is you have to have the parasha breaks only in certain places, and you can't have them in other places if you do the Sifrei Torah as possible. So the Rambam gives us a list in Hilchos Sefer Torah of all the psuchas and stumas in the Torah, and eventually that list became standard. So everybody who writes Sefer Torah nowadays follows that list. But in the times of Balei HaTosfos, they were contemporary with the Rambam, so they didn't have that. So it seems, for example, that the Balei HaTosfos had in their Sefer Torah, they had a parasha break at Vayom Hashem Eli Vayom Hashem. Two psukim before Vayichal. So that's why Tosfos is asking. They also ask about the Kravdem, that we start leaning on Chol HaMoed Pesach, and they have the same problem with that. Apparently also they had a different division of the psukim, or a different division of psuchas and stumas than we do. Anyway, Tosfos gives reasons why it works, because everybody knows that you start Vayichal, everybody knows that you begin the Kravdem. Still, the Gemara is asking then, so how do we divide up the Kriya of Rosh Chodesh among four Olim? Amaloi, so Rava answers Ola, Zuloi Shamaiti. Yeah, I haven't heard an answer what we do on Rosh Chodesh. Kayetzeva Shamaiti, but I've heard from Myra Bayim about a similar case where you have what seems to be too few psukim for the Olim and what we do about it. We learned in Masechta Tainis. We learned there about the Ma'amadis, about the groups of Yisraelim. We learned over there about the groups of Yisraelim who are on a weekly rotation, who would represent the other Yidin. Some of them would be in the Bais Hamikdash when the Korbanos are being brought as representatives of the whole Jewish people. The other ones who couldn't be there in the Bais Hamikdash we said, would gather in their shuls in different places around Eretz Yisrael, and they would have special fasts, and they would have special tefillos, and a special Kriyas HaTorah in connection with the Ma'amados. And we said they would read every day from the Psukim of Ma'isa Bereshis. So to Tan, we learned in the Mishnah, Bayom HaRishon Bereshis Vihi Rakia, on the Sunday of their Maimed, they would read the sections of Bereshis and Vihi Rakia. The Tony Allah, and we learn in a Braisa, what they would do is Bereshis Bishnaim, Yihi Rakia Be'echad. They would divide the parasha of Bereshis among two Olim, and then the parasha of Yihi Rakia from the second day, they would have one Olim read it. Vaha Vinan Baha, so we discussed that in the Gemara in Tainis. The Shlema Yihi Rakia Be'echad. I understand that Yihi Rakia can be read by one Ola. The Tlos of Psuki Habu, fine, it's three Psukim, that's enough for one Aliyah. Ela Bereshis Bishnayim, but how do you have the section of Bereshis with two Olim? Chamisha Psuki Habu. You only have five Psukim in that section. Vitanya, and we learn in a Braisa, or it's not really, it's later on, it's a Mishnah later on in our Perek. Akoda Batoda, La Yitchis Mishlash Psukim. Now, when a person is laying the Torah, he's not allowed to read less than three Psukim. So how do you have five Psukim for two Olim? The Itman Allah, so we had a discussion in the Gemara and Tainus on that. And Rav Amad Doileg Ushmol Amad Poisek. So Rav says what you do is you go backwards one. So the first Oila does the first three Psukim, ending with Vayihi Ur. The second Oila goes back and rereads the third Pasuk, Vayimer Elikim Yihi Ur Vayihi Ur. Then he continues with the next two Psukim. So that way each one of them has three Psukim. And then the third Oila is doing Yihi Rakia. Ushmol Amad Poisek. Shmuel says what you do is you split that second, that third Pasuk into two. So Shmuel says that the first Oila is getting two and a half Psukim. He says, Vayomer Elikim Yihi Ur, and then the second Oila begins, Vayihi Ur, and continues from there. So let's analyze that. So first let's understand the Machloikas about that. Then we can talk about how that relates to Rosh Chodesh. So Rav Amad Doileg, my time Alei Amad Posik. So why does Rav say that you should repeat one Posik? Why doesn't he say, like Shmuel, that you break the Posik in half? And the reason is kasaber, because Rav holds kol psukah like paskin Moshe, and not like paskin and like any pasuk that Moshe did not divide, we are not allowed to divide. So since the Torah was given divided into psukim, and since vayomer elokim yihi ur vayihi ur is a pasuk by itself, then therefore you can't split it in half. Now we talked about in Tainus, there's a lot of places in davening where we do split psukim in half. And there's a number of different answers that Rishonim and Acharonim give how we can do that. Among them are maybe it doesn't apply to Psukim of Nach, only Psukim of Chumash. Maybe it doesn't apply when we're not using the Pasuk as an actual thing to be Motzi B'tzibur. Only we're saying it as part of our own personal davening. Maybe it doesn't apply when the second half of the Pasuk would be something derogatory against the Jewish people, etc., etc. Anyway. So therefore, here we're being moitzi the tzibur. So therefore, Rav says you can't split the pasuk in half. Now, Shmuel Amar Paskinim Lei. So then the question becomes: How can Shmuel say that you divide the pasuk in half? Doesn't he agree with that concept? And Rama Rav Chananya Kara. Didn't Rav Chananya Kara say? Kara means that he was an expert in mikra. He was an expert in the nekudas and the trup. And all of the psukim, and he says, "Sar gadol hayali etzer of Chanina gadol." I had tremendous tsar with Rav Chanina gadol, meaning I went to Rav Chanina gadol again and again to ask him for a heter to divide psukim in two. The loyhituli lipsuk, he never allowed me to divide psukim. Ela l'tinekas shabbos rabban, only when I'm teaching children. Because they're doing it in order to learn, and they can't learn a whole pasuk at a time. So for them, Rav Chanina Gadol allowed him to split Psukim in half, but otherwise not. So how is Shmuel saying that you can split the Pasuk in half? The answer is, the Gemara says, Hasam time am I. Well, after all, why did Rav Chanina Gadol allow him to do it for children? Mishum de l'efshir, because it was impossible any other way. Well, hochanami l'efshir. Shmuel says, over here, it's also not possible. As the Gemara is going to explain why he holds that Rav's method of doilig is not going to work. So Shmuel on a posik, when Shmuel says you divide the posik in half, my time alay omadoy. Like, why doesn't he agree with Rab that you can go backwards one pasuk? And the reason is gzeira mishuma nechnasin and mishuma yotzin. For the same reason, as in general, you're not allowed to, as we're going to say now in the Gemara that we said before, you're not allowed to begin or end an aliyah within three psukim of a parasha break. Why is that? Again, because of the nechnasin and the yotzin. People who come in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, they're going to hear, for example, the second person, the second ola is beginning with the third pasuk. They're going to think, look at that, it means that an aliyah can consist of two psukim. The same way people leave and in the middle and they hear that they hear the first oila ended with Vayihir, and they can see for themselves there's only two psukim from there to the end of the parasha. So they're going to think the next oila is getting only two psukim. So that's why you're not supposed to make aliyah breaks at those places anyway. So therefore Shmuel says, what good does it do to go back one pasuk? What's going to happen? The second Ola is going to begin reading from Bayomer Elatimi here. Somebody's going to walk into Shul at that point. He's going to think the first Ola read only two psukim. What are you going to do? The first Ola is going to read the first Ola is going to read up to and including Bayomer Elatimi here, by here. Somebody leaves Shul at that point. He's going to think that the next Ola is only going to have two psukim. Have to remember, back then, of course, you know, they didn't have printed chumashim. They didn't have the aliyah breaks written down. And you also didn't have, like you have nowadays, we talked about yesterday, that nowadays you have a Baal Kodei who reads for the Oila, and the Oila just reads along quietly with him. In the times of the Mishnah and Gemara, it wasn't like that. Every person read their own aliyah, and every person would have to decide for themselves where to begin and end their aliyah. That's why we said yesterday, for example, that if the first of the three Olim reads four psukim, then he's Meshubach, or the second one, or the third one, because they themselves would be the ones to decide how many psukim they're going to read. So now the problem is we don't want people to think in the future that two psukim is enough for an aliyah. So Shmuel says, so what good is it going to do if you repeat a pasuk? You're going to have the same problem. People are going to think that an aliyah can consist of only two psukim. Therefore, there's no choice but to break the pasuk in half. Okay. So the Gemara says, Mace, you have a contradiction on this concept, Bechlau, on both Rab and Shmuel. Actually, it's interesting. The Gemara is going to bring a question over here. Rashi over here says that the question is only going to be on Shmuel that says Poisik. In Tainis, Rashi learns differently. You have the Sugya in Tainis as well. And there Rashi learns that the Mace over here is going to be a question on both of them. It seems we talked about when we learned the Sechta Tainis, it seems that the Rashi on Tainis is not actually from Rashi, which explains why he seems to be contradicting himself. Because he didn't write the Pirush on Tainis. Anyway, Nesvi, the Gemara says, I have a contradiction. Parasha shol shish psukim koronos v'shnayim. A Braisa says, when you have a parasha that consists of six psukim, then you can divide it among two oilim. V'shol chamish psukim v'yachid. If you have a parasha consisting of five psukim, then you can have one individual reads that. Then you have to have one individual reads that parasha, because it's not long enough for two aliyahs. Kara rishon shloisha. If the first ola read only three psukim of that parasha, hasheni kara shnayim parashas uvach and parasha acheres. Then the next ola has to read the remaining two psukim of this parasha and one pasuk of the next parasha. The yesh omim shloisha. Yes, I mean that he has to read three psukim of the next parasha. Lafishein maschilim the parasha pachim shloisha psukim. Because again, like we said before, you don't begin and you don't end or begin an aliyah within three psukim of a parasha break. Now, v'im isa, if you're going to tell me Rav and Shmuel say that you have methods of dividing a parasha of five psukim among two olim, l'manda amad doyleg nidloig. So according to Rav, who says that you can go backwards, why don't you go backwards? Why do we dafka say that we have to give that we should have had that parasha read by only one oila? On the face of it, we could still split it among two oilim. Or the manda of a poisik nipsik. And according to Shmuel, who says that we could break a posik in the middle, we should be able to break in the middle. Now, so Rashi over here says that the question is not on Shmuel, because in which case Rashi has to take out the words l'manda of a poisik nipsik. Namely, Rashi says the question can't be on Shmuel because Shmuel is saying you break a pasuk in half. But okay, we're talking about in the Sefer. We're talking about the person, the first Ola already read three Pesukim, so there's nothing to talk about as far as breaking the Pesuk in half. On the other hand, in Tainus, Rashi, or whatever is attributed to Rashi over there, says that the question is on Shmuel as well. Well, why did we say to begin with that the parasha of five Pesukim has to be given to one Ola rather than split to, among two Olam as well? Tosfos actually learns that the question is not that there's no question on Shmuel for a different reason, because Shmuel is going to agree that yeah, unless you have a choice, that when you have a choice, you don't split a pasuk in half, like we said before. Rav Chanina Kara said only in a situation, for example, when you're teaching children, or for example, where you have no other pesukim to read, are we going to break a pasuk in half? So the question is not really on Shmuel. The question Tosfos says for a different reason than Rashi is only on Rav, who says that doyleg. Why can't we be doyleg over here? The answer is shiny hosam to Efshe B'Hochi. The reason is because over there, you have the rest of the parasha of the week or whatever section it is that you're laning that day. You have the option. You're able to add more psukim. When it comes to the Ma'amadis, you have no choice. Every day of the Ma'amadis, you're only reading two, you're only reading the Ma'aseh Bereishis of 2 days, that day and the next day. The Pnei Yeshua says you're not going to have that. Some days you're going to do three of them and others you're going to do two of them. It would be very inconsistent. And the same thing with the parasha of Rosh Chodesh. The psukim before it and after it are not really relevant to Rosh Chodesh at all. Really, in fact, I mean, he says when you get down to it, the kavanas of Shabbos are not even relevant to Rosh Chodesh. The only reason we have them in there is because they're between the tumid of every day and the kriya of Rosh and Rosh Chodeshim, and we're not going to skip those. But the psukim before it in Parshas Pinchas and after it have nothing to do with Rosh Chodesh, so we can't add those. So when you have a parasha of five psukim, so we're saying you should give it to one ola because so what? So you're not pressed for space. You have enough room to be able to give more olim in the rest of the parasha of the week because it's a long parasha. The question was only about Ma'amadis and about Rosh Chodesh, where you have those constraints. Tosfos also discusses in this connection, by the way, as far as Chol HaMoed Sukkos, where what do we do? For example, the first day of Chol HaMoed, the first Ola says of Ayem HaSheni, the second Ola does of Ayem HaShlishi, the third Ola does of Ayem HaRavi, and the fourth Ola repeats of Ayem HaSheni or Ayem HaShlishi. So how do we do that? How is he repeating what was already lain? So the answer is because you don't really have, the answer is also you don't really have much of a choice because again, you can't go too far ahead to psukim that have nothing to do at all with today. Even the fact that you do a Vayom Ravi on that day, the post can question that considering a Vayom Ravi is not connected with the first day of Chol HaMoed at all. So therefore, you don't have a choice. In Eretz Yisrael, by the way, where they don't even have Sveika de Yoma, there's a machloekas what you do over there. Do you also do in Eretz Yisrael that, for example, the first day of Chol HaMoed, they lay in Vayim HaSheni or Vayim HaShlishi and or Vayim HaRavi, and then the fourth Oyla lanes only or Vayim HaSheni? Or do they actually, there are Minhagim, I think there's a machloekas within the Mechaber and the Rama on it, do you read the section of Vayim HaSheni four times, one for each Oyla? So where you have no choice, then you have no choice, and people repeat what was lain before them. But otherwise you don't do that. So shiny awesome to Efshe B'Hochi. So it's different where you have more psukim available, then we're not going to divide up a parasha of five psukim among two olim if we can help it. But where we can't help it, such as with Ma'amadis and with Rosh Chodesh, then we may not have a choice. So Amar Rav Tanchum, Amar Rav Shimon Levi, halacha ki yesh oimrim. The halacha is like that yesh oimrim. So if the parasha was incorrectly divided, and now the second Ola has only two psukim in that parasha, then he can't just lay in one more pasuk from the next parasha. He has to lay in three psukim from the next parasha. And v'amar of Tanchum, amar of Yeshua ben Levi, k'shem she'en maschiv in a parasha pachas megimol psukim, just as you can't begin within three psukim of the end of a parasha, k'achen m'shayin a parasha pachas m'shlesh psukim, the same way you can't end an aliyah with less than three psukim to go until the next parasha. So the Gemara says, why did Rav Tanchum need to tell us that? Pshita, isn't that obvious? Hashta umas chalta, when you consider the beginning of an aliyah, the kamekel tanakama, where the tanakama is being makel and saying, or the beginning of a parasha, when the tanakama is being makel and says that the second oila needs to do only one pasuk from the new parasha, and machmir yesh omrim, and the yesh omrim are being machmir and say, you know, you need three psukim from the new parasha. Shiur, well then when it comes to leaving over at the end of the previous parasha, to Machmer Tanakama, where the Tanakama is Machmer, he's saying after all the Tanakama that you should have had that parasha of five psukim read by a yochid, by one individual person. So even the Tanakama agrees that you don't end within three psukim of a parasha break. Loi koshikin de machmiri, how much more so the yeshoimim would be Machmer on that as well. So why does Reb Tanachum even need to point that out? And the answer is Mao de Tema. Without Rav Tanachum telling us, you would have thought, Nichnas in Shchichi. Nichnas in Shchichi, Yotzin lo Shchichi, that people should come in the middle of the Ali, in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah is common. Yotzin lo Shchichi, but that people should leave in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah is less common. The Madachi say, Petorah Benapki, that people should leave the Sefer Torah and go out. In fact, the Gemara elsewhere in Sota says you're not allowed to go out in the middle of an aliyah. At most, you're allowed to go out bein gavra la gavra, between one oila and the next. And even that really is only with Sodach Gadol, only if you have a great need. So people don't usually leave in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. So therefore, so you would think that that's not such a problem. So if you end an aliyah within three psukim of a parasha break, people are not likely to think that the next oila is going to do only two psukim, because they're going to stay in shul and they're going to hear that he reads at least three psukim. So we would have thought that it's not a problem. Kamash Malah, nevertheless, Reb Tanachum tells us that is a problem, and therefore you can't begin an aliyah within three psukim. You can't end an aliyah within three psukim of a parasha break either. Okay. So the Gemara says, but Tanakama. So now we have to ask, according to the Tanakama, apparently then the Tanakama agrees that you can't end an aliyah within three psukim of a parasha. That's why he says that a parasha of five psukim has to be given to only one oila. So why is it, so Maishna Shiyuri Deloy, why is he saying you can't leave three psukim, less than three psukim to the end of the parasha, mishum yoitzin? The reason is because of the people who are going to go out, who are mistakenly going to think that the next oiler is going to have only two psukim. Ascholi nami. So why doesn't the Tanakama agree with Yeshayim? Gzeira mishum anechnosin. Shouldn't they make a gzeira because of the people who are going to come in and they're going to hear the next oiler reading from the third pasuk and they're going to think that the previous oiler read only two psukim? The answer is Amri, because the answer, Manda Ayo, Shayuli Shayo, because anybody who comes late to Shul is going to ask, where did they begin the Kriyas HaTorah from? When he hears that the second one is reading three psukim, and he realizes that the first Oila only read two psukim of that parasha, he's going to ask somebody. And they'll tell him that he read from the previous parasha as well, so he had more than three psukim. So therefore, according to the Tanakama, it's not a problem to begin an aliyah within three psukim of the beginning of a parasha break. But according to the Yesh Omim, it is, because he's not necessarily going to ask. And we're saying the halacha is like the Yesh Omim, as far as beginning and as far as ending. So you can never begin an aliyah within three psukim of a parasha break. So Shalach le Rabba braid the Rabba of Yosef. Hilchos Amai. Rabba, the son of Rabba, sent a message to Rabbi Yosef asking what's the halacha like in the machlok, this Rab and Shmuel that we had before about doileg or posik. Do we repeat a posik or do we split a posik in half? Shalach le, said Rabbi Yosef, answered him, Hilchos doileg. The halacha is that you go back a posik. Then soy dogon, the middle oila is the one who goes back. Now, what was the question about? Rashi explained that the question was about the Ma'amadis. Again, when we said before that with the Ma'amadis, with the first day of the Ma'amadis, you have five psukim for the section of Bereshit and three for Yehi Rakia, and we have Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, how we divide those five psukim among two olim. So Rava, Berei de Rava, is asking what the halacha is in that, and Rabbi Yosef is answering him. So it comes out that according to Rashi, there was no resolution as far as Rosh Chodesh, what we do. Now, the Rif and a lot of other Rishonim learn that no, the resolution applies to Rosh Chodesh as well. Hilchos Adoyleg, the halacha is like Rav, that we go backwards. Now, what does it mean, V'emtsoi Dogon? What does it mean the middle one is the one who goes back? On Rosh Chodesh, you have four Oilim, so there's no middle one. So the Rif explains that what it means is the second Oila repeats one pasuk from the first Aliyah, so and then he does two psukim after that, and then we continue from there. So that's most of the other Rishonim agree with that, and that results in how we lay in Rosh Chodesh nowadays, as we're going to hear soon by Shacharis, where the first Oila does the first three psukim until and including Shnayim Layim Oila Samid. Then the second Oila repeats the pasuk V'amarta Aleihem Zeho Isha, the third pasuk, continues with the fourth and fifth psukim. Then the third Oila gets the next three psukim after that, as well as the Yom HaShabbos. And the fourth Oila gets the section of Rosh Chodesh. A couple of the Rishonim over here do discuss that maybe after all, it comes out again according to Rashi, and that Ramban also agrees with this, that maybe the Gemara did not come to a conclusion as far as Rosh Chodesh. Maybe when it comes to Rosh Chodesh, we shouldn't be doing that. After all, with Rosh Chodesh, we have enough psukim. We have 15 psukim to divide among four olam. That's more than enough. The only problem is the parasha breaks. So maybe what we should do is, so the Ramban brings up a possibility and doesn't like it, that what you do is like this. You have the first ola is going to do the first three psukim of the section of the Korban Tamid. The second ola is going to do the remaining five psukim of that section. The third ola is going to repeat the last three psukim of that and continue with the Yom HaShabbos. And the fourth one is going to do a Vodash Echotchechem. The Ramban doesn't like that idea because he says that's repeating more psukim than you need to. If you can get away with repeating only one pasuk, which is the way that the Rif says to do it, then why should we be repeating three psukim? The Vilna Gaon actually does hold like that. And there are kehilas in Eretz Yisrael that follow the Vilna Gaon's minhag, and they do that. So instead of repeating Ramauta, they repeat the last three psukim. They repeat the last three psukim of the section of the Korban Tamid. But anyway, the Ramban discusses that if the Gemara hasn't come to a conclusion as far as Rosh Chodesh, maybe what we should do, the Ramban discusses, the Ran discusses, maybe indeed what we should do is we should just have that we're gonna violate the usual rules of not beginning or ending within three psukim of a parasha. For example, we can have that the first two olim can each have four psukim from the section about the Korban Tamid. The third oila will have the two psukim of the section about Shabbos plus one pasuk from the section about Rosh Chodesh. You're not supposed to do with it. You're not supposed to start an aliyah within three psukim of a parasha. But here, maybe there's no alternative because doylig is really not such a good thing either to repeat psukim. And then the fourth oila would have the remaining four psukim of Rosh Chodesh. So the Ramban discusses it. The Ran discusses it. The Ramban says in the end, I mean, these are all theoretically, maybe it should be that way, but in practice, let's not change the existing minhag in order not to create machlokes. And that's how we do. So most kehilas do. And we do, as the Rif says, namely that we repeat the pasuk V'amarta Lahem. Okay, so that's that. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Zach Klal Kol Sheyesh Ben Musaf Kola. We said that the rule is that any day on which there's a korban musaf, then we have four oilim or more. There's also bitul malacha la'am. People want to be able to do work because even on chalamayit. After all, well, we said kol sheyesh b'musaf ve'ein a yamtiv. Any day which is musaf, where there's musaf but is not a yamtiv, namely chalamayit and Rosh Chodesh, then we have four oilim. So ibalahu. So now we have a question: tainus tzibur b'kaba. How many oilim do you have on a tainus tzibur? Rosh Chodesh amoyed di'ikakovin musaf abba. Do we say that Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, because there's a Korban Musaf, therefore we have four Olim. Aval Hocha Deleka Korban Musaf Loi, but on a Tainus Tzibur there's no Korban Musaf, therefore we only have three Olim. Adyom Hocha Nami Ikam Musaf Tefillah. Or maybe what it is after all, on a Tainus Tzibur, you have something added to the davening. What is the something? Rashi says we're talking about Aneinu. The Ran says we're talking about the extra six brachas that we learned about in Tainus, that we learned that on certain Tanias for rain, have six extra brachas. So maybe that's enough to upgrade it to four aliyahs. So the Gemara says, Toshma, well, let's try to prove from our Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, Berosh Chadashim of Cholosh HaMoed Karin Abba, on Rosh Chodesh and Chalamoed. We have four aliyahs. Haba Tainas Tzibur Gimel, implying a Tainas Tzibur is neither of those, therefore three aliyahs. But the Gemara says, Eimer Reisha. On the other hand, look at the beginning of the Mishnah. Vasheni v'chamishi of Shabbos Mincha Karin Gimel. Monday and Thursday and Shabbos Mincha, we have three Olim. Ha Tainas Tzibur Abba, implying that on Tainas Tzibur we have four. So you're right, you can't prove anything one way or the other. From our Mishnah, the Mishnah left out Tainas Tzibur, and the question is which category it goes into. Okay, Toshma. Let's prove from an actual case that happened. The Rav Iklal Babel B'Tainas Tzibur. Rav one time visited Babel on a Tainas Tzibur. The Pashtus Babel doesn't mean the country of Babel. Rav lived in Babel. We mean the city of Babel. There was a city of Babel in the country of Babel. So Rav one time visited that area, B'Tainas Tzibur, on a Tainas Tzibur. Kam Kora B'Sifra. So Rav went and leaned from the Torah. He got an aliyah. Pasach Baruch Chosim V'Lei Baruch. He made a bracha at the beginning, but not a bracha at the end, as the words we're going to explain soon why. Nafu Kula Alma Anpayu. Later on, when it came time for Nefilas Apayim, everybody else fell on their faces. The Rav, like Nafal Alape, Rav did not. Now we're going to talk about on Omid Beis why Rav didn't do Nefilas Apayim. But first, let's focus on the fact that we're saying that Rav made a bracha before his aliyah, but not after. Now, Mechti Rav Yisrael Kara, let's consider, Rav must have gotten the aliyah of Yisrael, because Rav is not a Kohen or a Levi. My time a Chosam B'lei Baruch. Now, why would he end his aliyah and not make a bracha at the end? Lav Mishum Deboi L'mikrach Rina Basrei. Must be because there's yet to be a fourth oila after him. And since, as we said in the Mishnah, only the last oila makes the last bracha, so therefore Rav didn't make the last bracha because he's waiting for the oila after him. So that would show that you need four aliyahs. The Gemara says, "Loi, not necessarily. Rav Bakani Kora. Rav may well have gotten the aliyah of Koyin. The Rav Huna Kori Bakani, as we the same way as we find that Rav Huna, who was a Talmud of Rav, also got the aliyah of Koyin." Now, what it is technically you have a mishnah. There is a mishnah in Gittin that says that Bnei Dauke Sholem, the Chameh, that the Kohen always gets the first aliyah and the Levi gets the second aliyah. Nevertheless, the Gemara here and in Gittin explains that a distinguished Talmud Chacham, such as Rav Huna, and was saying Rav can get the aliyah of Rishon. In fact, the Rambam actually has in Pirush HaMishnayos over there in Gittin, the Rambam says that how is it that anybody has a minhag that even if the Kohen in Shul is an Amma Oretz, that we give him ahead of a Talmud Chacham? Surely the Mishnah didn't mean to say that in that case you do that. The Mishnah meant if the Kohenim and the Yisraelim are on equal level, then you give the Kohenim first, Mipnei Dat Kesholim. But to give a Kohen ahead of a Yisrael, the Rambam says, absolutely, when the Kohen is an Amma Oretz, absolutely not. However, it seems by the time that Rambam wrote the Yad HaChazaka that he changed his mind, or at least accepted that that is the minhag, because he writes in Yad HaChazaka that the minhag aposhet is that you do that, that you always give the Kohen first, even if the Yisrael there is a much greater Talmud Chacham. Whatever the case, in principle, then a Yisrael Talmud Chacham can be given Kohen, and we see that Rav Huna did that. So the same way, Rav might well have gotten the aliyah of Kohen, in which case the fact that he doesn't make an after bracha doesn't prove anything, because of course there are more olam after him. So the Gemara says, how does that prove anything? Bishlema Rav Huna Kori Bakani. You know why Rav Huna got the aliyah of Koyin. Da'afil Rav Ami v'Rav Asi d'chani chashivi d'ad Yisrael. You see that even Rav Ami and Rav Asi, who were the important Koyanim of Eretz Yisrael, they were the heads of the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, make of Kaifu Leila Rav Huna. They were still subjugated to Rav Huna. In other words, they recognized that Rav Huna was a much greater Talmud Chacham than them, and they would send him their questions and whatever. So therefore, said Rav Huna outranks them. Ela Rav, ho'ika Shmuel dekana hava. When it comes to Rav, though, Shmuel was a Kohen, the Dabar Ale Shmuel. And yet we see that Rav used to give cover to Shmuel and let him go ahead of him. The answer is Shmuel Nami make have a kayaf le Rav. The answer is no. Shmuel was also subjugated to Rav in the sense that Shmuel recognized that Rav is a greater Talmud Chacham than him. It's just a rab for certain personal reasons used to give Shmuel extra cover. There's a Gemara in Shabbos and in Baba Kama, there's Gemaras that tell over there how Rav one time accidentally said something derogatory against Shmuel, and then after that he would show extra cover to Shmuel to make up for that. So but when would Rav show such cover to Shmuel? Only when Shmuel is there. When Shmuel is not there, he didn't have to give him such cover. So therefore, Shmuel wasn't in the same shul where Rav was. So therefore, Rav could well have gotten the Aliyah of Kohen. If Shmuel had been there, then yeah, Rav wouldn't take the Aliyah of Kohen because he would leave that for Shmuel. But since Shmuel wasn't there, then Rav could feel free to take the Aliyah of Kohen. So the fact that he didn't say an after bracha doesn't show anything. And the Gemara says, in fact, Hochinami Mistabra, the Rav Bakani Kara. In fact, it's logical to say that Rav got the first Aliyah. The Isak Dadach B'Yisrael Kara. Because after all, if you got the Aliyah of Yisrael, even let's say that there are four Aliyahs and a tiny Tzibur, as we're discussing now, but for now, my time at Baruch. Then why would he have made a before bracha? We said in the Mishnah that only the first Olam makes the before bracha, and the last Olam makes the after bracha. So the Olam in the middle don't say any brachas at all. So why would Rav be saying the before bracha? The only reason could be because he had the first Aliyah. And the Gemara says no, because la'acha takana, because we learned at the bottom of Chafala from Adbei, we learned at the beginning of today's Gemara, at the bottom of Chafala from Adbei, is that eventually the Chachamim made a takana because of people who come in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah or leave in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah and are going to think that you don't make a bracha at all, or they're not going to be yotze with the bracha. So this is after that takana. So therefore, Rav made the before bracha. Well, then the question is, then why Taka didn't Rav make the bracha after it? And the answer is, shiny hecha the Yosef Rav. It's different when Rav is in the shul, the male Eili, people might come late. But nobody's going to be leaving in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah out of covered for Rav. They're going to have covered for him. They're not going to leave in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah when he's there. So therefore, Rav only has to worry about nichnasim. So therefore, we have to say a before bracha so that people don't think that you can learn from the Torah without a bracha. He doesn't have to make an after bracha mishum hayotzin, because nobody's going to be leaving in the middle. Everybody's going to be there for the last aliyah, and they're going to hear how the last oila makes the after bracha. So therefore, it wasn't necessary. Even if Rab had one of the middle aliyahs, it wasn't such as the aliyah of Yisrael, it wasn't necessary for him to make the after bracha. So there's no proof from that story, one way or the other, whether there are three olim on Tainas Tzibur or not. Maybe there are four olim and Rav had the Aliyah of Yisrael and didn't make the after bracha because there's yet to be a fourth olah. On the other hand, maybe Rav had the Aliyah of Kohen and therefore he's making the before bracha because he's the first olah, but he's not making the after bracha because there are still two more olim to come after him. So no proof from that one way or the other. Okay, so the Gemara says Toshma, Zaklal, here's the general rule. Kol sheyesh bebitul melacha la'am, when there's a day when having extra aliyahs and then making the davening longer is going to cause people to miss time from work, going tainus tzibur v'tish above, for example, tainus tzibur. Now, we learned in tainus that there are certain tainus tzibur which are also the malacha, but most of them are mutter in malacha. Only the last 10 fasts of Gshamim are also Basias Malacha, but most other Taniyas Tzibur are you allowed to do Malacha. And Tisha B'Av, there's different minhagim in different places, whether to do Malacha or not. Nowadays, the general minhag is not to, but still, the original concept was you could do Malacha on Tisha B'Av. We learned earlier in Omer Sechta, that we learned earlier on Daf Hei, about that there used to be different minhagim about that. So such days, that there is bitul malacha la'am if you make the davening longer, kodin gimel. So on such days, you have three olim. V'she'en bei bitul malacha la'am, on a day when there's no, when people are not losing time off work, k'gan roshe chadoshim b'chol ha'shamayid, namely rosh chodesh and chalamayid, kodin dalad. Then we have four aliyahs. Sh'mamina, so that shows the Braisa clearly says that a tainus tzibur you have only three. Now, what do we mean? Chalamoyed, there's only certain kinds of work you're allowed to do, because you're only allowed to do davar avod, which is not so common. As far as Rosh Chodesh, though, what do we mean that Rosh Chodesh, there's no bitul malacha? After all, Rosh Chodesh, you're allowed to work. So Rashi and Tosfos both mention a concept that women don't do malacha on Rosh Chodesh. Now, why is that? So Rashi and Tosfos both bring, because the women got a schus for the fact that when it came to making the egel, they didn't want to give their jewelry. So therefore, they got a schar that they keep a shchodesh, unlike the men. And in fact, la'olam haba, Rashi, there's a parenthesis addition in Rashi, bringing from Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, that la'olam haba, these women who have that schos of keeping Rosh Chodesh are going to be renewed like the Rosh Chodeshim, just like the moon renews itself every month. Those women are going to be renewed. Their youthfulness is going to be renewed. So now, what does that mean? So first of all, an interesting point is, so why Dafka is that a schar for the women? Because they didn't want to donate to the Egel. Therefore, they get the extra yomtov of Rosh Chodesh, is the special yomtov for women. So the Torah brings an interesting idea from his brother, Rabbi Yehuda. He says that the Medrash says that the Shalosh Regalim correspond to the three others. We have Pesach in the Schos of Avraham, and Shavuos in the Schos of Yitzchak, and Sukkot in the Schos of Yaakov. Now then you have the 12 Shvatim. We should have had the celebration of every 12 Rosh Chodeshim in honor of the 12 Shvatim. But because the 12 Shvatim served the Egel, therefore they lost that privilege. Therefore it was left by the women, since they didn't serve the Egel, since they didn't worship the Egel. Now, what do we mean? So what, that the women aren't working on Rosh Chodesh? How does that change anything as far as the number of aliyahs in shul, where l'chorah the women aren't in shul? So actually, the Magen Avraham says women do have a chiyuv to hear Kriyas HaTorah. So in that case, then you do have that, at least for the women, there's not bitul malacha, because they're not doing work on Rosh Chodesh. On the other hand, There are mefoshim who learn that actually it used to be that the minhag was that men didn't do malacha on Rosh Chodesh either. We see it, in fact, that when Yonasan is talking with David about the plan over there, it's an after of Malacha Chodesh, where he says that you're going to hide out, in the same place as you hid. But Yom HaMaisa means that Rosh Chodesh is not a Yom HaMaisa, and David and Yonasan are both men, and they're calling Rosh Chodesh not a Yom HaMaisa, implying that at that time, the minhag was that men didn't work on Rosh Chodesh either. Later on, the minhag changed, and women don't work on Rosh Chodesh, but men do. Some of the mefarshim say that maybe what it is men shouldn't be doing heavy work on Rosh Chodesh, like plowing and planting or whatever, but they're allowed to do easier malacha. The Turei Evan has an interesting point on it. He says as long as the Beis Mikdash was standing and a korban musaf was being brought on Rosh Chodesh, then that made it that even the men are not allowed to work on Rosh Chodesh because the korban is being brought on their behalf. Once the Beis Mikdash was destroyed, then it remained that only the women keep Rosh Chodesh and don't do malach on it, but the men are allowed to. But the takana of Kriyas HaTorah was made while the Beis Mikdash was standing. Anyway, in any case, we see clearly from this braisa that a tainus tzibur, you have three aliyahs. But Amar of Ashi va'anan like Tnan Hachi. But Rav Ashi says, one second, that's not what we said in our Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, Zeh HaKlal, this is the general rule. Kol yoyim sheyesh ben Musaf ein a yomtiv, any day on which you have Musaf, but it's not a yomtiv, Korin Abba, then you have four aliyahs. Now, Lasu Yamai, now a Zeh HaKlal is usually meant to add something. So what is it coming to add? Lav lasui, tainis tzibur, and Tisha B'Av. Doesn't it come to include tainis tzibur and Tisha B'Av? Where again, we said there is something added to davening. You have anenu, or the six brachas, or on the fast terrain, you have the six brachas. And the Mishnah seems to be implying that you have four aliyahs. Okay, so the question is, Lord Rav Ashi, must be sinmani. Well, if Rav Ashi is going to understand that our Mishnah is saying that a tainis tzibur, you have four aliyahs, then who would our Mishnah be like? Loi Tanakama v'loi Rabbi Yosi. On the face of it, it wouldn't be like the Tanakama, and it wouldn't be like Rabbi Yosi. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Chalias v'sheni v'chamishi korin gimel v'machrechad. If a Tainus Tzibur or Tisha B'Av, it's talking about specifically about Tisha B'Av, we learned in Masechta Tainus. If Tisha B'Av comes out on Monday or Thursday, nowadays Tisha B'Av can't be on Monday, but it could be on Thursday, korin gimel v'machrechad, then you have three aliyahs. And the third one also reads, the third one is the one who reads Mafter. We'll talk about tomorrow, Ben Sashem, why is it that on Tainus Tzibur, the third Ola is also the one who says Mafter, whereas on Shabbos and Yom Tov, Mafter is a separate Aliyah. We'll talk about that tomorrow, Ben Sashem. Anyway, so the Braisa says, when Tisha B'Av is Monday or Thursday, then you have three aliyahs, and the third one is Mafter. But if Tisha B'Av is on Tuesday or Wednesday, Koda Echad or Mafter Echad, then since it's anyway not a Yom HaKriya, you only have one Ola, And that one himself says that Torah. Rabbi Yossi Emel Olam Kohen Gimel Machter Echad. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you always have three Elias, and the third one is the Machter. So, if our Mishnah, if Rav Ashi is saying that our Mishnah is implying that a Tainus Tzibur, you have four Olim, then it wouldn't work according to the Tanna Kamma, and it wouldn't work according to Rabbi Yossi. Now, Tosma says, why don't we say that Rabbi Yossi means that there were three Elias plus an extra one from Machter? And the answer is because if the Tanna Kamma is saying necessarily it means there's one Ola on Tuesday or Wednesday, and automatically that one is the Machter. And he's saying that only on Monday and Thursday do you have three Olam, only because anyway you have three Olam on that day. Then there's no reason to say that Rabbi Yossi is also going to be saying La Olam Kol Gimel Machter Echad, that he's going to mean something different than the Tanna Kamma. He has to mean that there's only three Olam. So our Mishnah wouldn't work according to either one of them. So what's Rav Ashi going to do with our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, "Ve'el Akasha Zaklal." Nu, after all, what are we doing with the Mishnah Zaklal, which is what Rav Ashi is learning from? The answer is loy. No, the Mishnah is not coming to include Tainus Tzibur like Rav Ashi is thinking. The Mishnah is coming to include Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed that you have four Aliyahs. The Gemara says you don't need that. We said clearly in the Mishnah. So you don't need, so the Zaklal is not adding anything. So the answer is Simona Ba'alma Yahud. The answer is the Zaklal is not like most of the Zaklals in the Mishnah that's coming to add something that was not mentioned. Everything that it needs to say is already mentioned. We're just giving the klal as a simon. Don't mistakenly think that Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed are on the same level and both of them should have the same number of aliyahs. Ella, no, what the Mishnah is telling us, you can keep in your hand the following rule. Called the Tofile Milsim Mechabre Tofile Gabri Seira. Whenever you have that a certain kind of day has an extra advantage over another day, then you have an extra Ola. Hilkach Rosh Chodesh Amoyed Ich Koren Mosef. So Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, you have a Koren Mosef Koren Abba. Then you have four Elias. The Yomtev to Osabasias Malacha. Yomtev, where you're not allowed to do any kind of Malacha except for Malachas Ochel Nefesh. Unlike Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, where you're allowed to do certain kinds of malacha, Chamisha, so Yom Tov gets five aliyahs. V'yem HaKippurim to Onush Kodesh, Yom Kippur, person works, he's actually Chayav Kodesh, not like Yom Tov, where he's just Chayav Malchus, but that Shisha, then you have six of them. Shabbos, to Ikur Issu Skila, and on Shabbos, where if a person breaks Shabbos, he's Chayav Skila, which is even more than Kodesh and Yom Kippur, Shiva, then you have seven aliyahs. So the Mishnah Zaklal is not actually coming to add anything more. The Mishnah just wants to give us a rule by which to know how many aliyahs you have on any given day. There's an interesting thing that it says in Sfarim that the pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is a remez to this. The word Shema has three letters corresponding to the three that we have on Monday and Thursday and Shabbos afternoon and Tainus Tzibur, as we're saying. The word Yisrael has five for the five of Yom Tov. The word Hashem has four letters corresponding to the four of Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed. The word Elokeinu is six for the six of Yom Kippur. And the words Hashem Echad together have seven corresponding to the seven aliyahs of Shabbos. We'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. We're going to discuss the question of, we said before when we were telling the story of Rab being in shul, we talked about his aliyah. Then afterwards, we talked about that everybody else didn't fill us a payim, but he didn't. So we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and discuss why indeed he didn't do nefilas a payim.
Yeshikoyach.